simplicity in that song, precious is the blood. And with the blood comes salvation in every kind, healing, wholeness, mind, body, spirit. I know we prayed for bodies, but I pray that, I feel like the Lord still wants to give some joy. The scriptures tell us, restore the joy of our salvation. The salvation is based on the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus to overcome sin and death. And so if there's a need for joy today, I just want you to just raise up your hand. Just if you need joy today, you're like in a season, it's been hard, just need an overflow of joy for the Lord to remind you about what he's already done for you. Just put your hand up, and once again, full contact today. If you're a guest, we'd love to pray. Believe there's power, and just put your hand on somebody's shoulder, let them know they're not alone. And we're just going to pray and just receive the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Yeah, I just want you to think back, those that have their hands raised, I just want you to think back of what the Lord has done, how he saved you, how he restored you, how he brought you in, how he reminded you that you've been loved the entire time. Just allow that to bubble up inside of you. That you did nothing other than receive it. It's the joy of the Lord. The joy of salvation. The joy of receiving the free gift, the gift of Christ Jesus. If you're praying for somebody, just bless them that this would be a season marked with joy and laughter. Next season. What was unknown in the last season is going to be known in this season. Lord, teach us to receive. Teach us to walk with you. To receive, receive, receive. In the powerful name of Jesus, we all said, but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't that profound to think about? The blood of Jesus. We've been talking about in this series, change. And it says today, I changed my message actually last night because we had been through the weekend, had an incredible weekend. The Lord was so generous to all of us that we were able to join us in this collaboration. So many revelations and things to take away and relationships formed. It was a beautiful weekend. Love that we got to host people from all over the country here. But I got home last night, and I'm like, man, like what I had planned on Monday and Tuesday wasn't what I felt like the Lord was breathing on anymore. And so I thankfully had a little space and just ask the Lord, what do you have? And we're talking about change, but how do you know God does not change? Two of my friends here in the room. How many of you know God does not change? Yeah, we're talking about change. He does not change. This is what Hebrews 13:8 says, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Forever's a long time. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever, okay? James 1:17, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everything good in your life is a gift from God. And look what it says about him. There is no variation in him or shadow due to change. God is the unshakable rock that we set our feet on. He's the chief cornerstone that we are built upon. He is the plumb line to all truth. He does not change. Yet the God that does not change constantly initiates change. Darn, man. The God who says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever says, things are going to be different tomorrow. Isn't that interesting? Like, can we get this? Like, the God that says, I'm always the same. There's no shadow of change in me. This is what we read in Isaiah 43. It says, remember not the former days, nor consider the things of old. Don't celebrate just what has happened in the past and live there. Ooh, start preaching a second. Don't remember the former things, not consider the things of, behold, I am doing a new thing. Oh, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? This is so convicting, this verse here that says the God that does not change does new things. And guess what? You and I can miss it. It says, do you not perceive the God that does not change is doing a new thing? Isn't that convicting? Isn't it like, oh my goodness, I can miss it. He says, I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It's what the scripture is saying, that which wasn't now is. Doesn't that sound like God? That which wasn't for a minute ago, man, the desert was dry, now there's rivers flowing through it. There was no path in the wilderness, there's no way out, at least what I saw, and then all of a sudden there was a way through the wilderness. That which wasn't now is. This is the God that does not change, is always inviting us to change. Has God ever invited you to change? Can I see, am I the only one he's ever said, hey, change, I want you to change? Ever had God change the plans that you thought he had for you? Anybody else? Oh my goodness, my wife's like, what are we doing, by the way, in Kingsport, Tennessee? What in the world? That was not the plan, but it is God's plan. The God that does not change always initiates change. And we should not be surprised, because when Jesus gets on the scene, they had been worshiping the one true God in Israel. They had been worshiping it, and he gets in there and he says this, his first real message to the people. He says, repent, change your mind about everything. Once again, the God that does not change, his first message is change, 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 change. And he says, the kingdom of God is now at hand. All the things you thought about, you were probably wrong. The things, the ways that you thought God thought, man, you were wrong. I'm here to show you what God is like. And so he initiates change. He says, come, I want to show you a new way. Before I was ever in ministry, I was an engineer. And in one of my roles when I worked for this big chemical company, I was asked to be the manager of change. Doesn't that sound like an excruciating job? How many of you know people don't like change? And then I was given the title manager of change. It's like being the manager of hell. Like the manager of poking your eyes out. And I was tasked to come in as a young engineer to go to two different plants in a new city and work with the plant manager, the highest level, all the way down to the people that were making the product, the operators. And I was charged to help bring change to that organization that had been the same for 30, 40 years. Yeah, I'll do it. And how many of you know that was hard? I mean, you know, like when we have our ways, and if you've ever worked in manufacturing, you worked in any kind of normal job, like we like to get our ways set. We know, we like to expect what we want to expect, right? Sort of like church, we just want to come in and we want to expect what we want to expect, don't we? We want to say, man, I know what's going to happen. I know what it's going to look like. I show up Monday, I know what's going to happen. And so they asked me, this, I guess, naive person to say yes to the job, to come in and help them facilitate some change. And really the desire was that the change between the workers and the managers, that their relationship would actually change. That was what the goal of the company was. Because they knew that the 30 years of existence of this kind of relationship where everything was told downstream, do this, they knew that wasn't gonna get them what they needed to go in the future. And so they recognized the desire was that there's a lot more smart people on the shop floor than just that wear suits in buildings. Some operators say amen to that, right? And so we were trying to figure out, like, how do we begin to tap into the amazing asset that we had, which was the workers that were doing the work. And so there's desire to change the approach between leadership and the people that were actually doing the work. Change is hard, yet Jesus says, change your mind. And then we get to texts like Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, go ahead and jump there. This is the real text that we're going to be in today, Mark chapter 2. People had expectations for Jesus. I don't know if you ever have expectations for people. people have expectations on you, but people had expectations of Jesus. And they wanted Jesus to fit in the paradigm that they had for what a Messiah would look like. And so they come to Jesus and say, hey, John the Baptist, man, he's obviously got a good following. He's got a lot of people. He's got a lot of disciples. He says, they fast all the time. But when we look at you, Jesus, like your guys are out there, you're eating and drinking, you're having parties. Why aren't you fasting like John the Baptist's disciples? And so he says, here's what you need to know. When the wedding party is with the bridegroom, there's only time for celebration. There will be a day when the bridegroom, he was talking about himself, when the bridegroom leaves, and then they will fast. But right now, listen, the bridegroom is here. There has to be eating and drinking and celebration. And then he takes it a little deeper, and this is the two analogies that I want to get into today. He then gives them two analogies, and this is talking about change and what is the new thing that God is doing. He gives them two analogies. He says this in verse 21. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, and the new one from the old, and a worse tear is made. So now think about this. Jesus isn't teaching a fabric lesson in this moment, but he's given us this beautiful picture that, you know, how many of you have a favorite pair of pants? Anybody? All the ladies in the house said, yeah. Some of us guys are like, favorite pair of underpants? No. Pants. And those pants, like, as we wear them and as we put them in the dryer, as they dry, they kind of form to us and they shrink down to the size that they're going to be stable. It's called like stabilization. Like, they get to a certain size, they're not going to get any smaller. Sometimes we get bigger, but that's another side of sex, all right? They're not, you're going to get that later. Anyhow, they're saturated, they're stuck, they're where they're at. And he says, if you get a tear in your favorite pants, you're like, man, I want to wear these pants. I got to wear it. And I go buy a new patch and I put on top of that old material. When I do that, when that new material that's put on that patch, when it shrinks, it's actually going to cause a larger tear in the pants that I love. And it's going to ruin the pants. And then he goes on with another analogy, and I love this one. This is one I want to dig into today. He says this. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. The new wine is for fresh wineskins. Now, remember, culturally, this would have been a very understood analogy because everybody would have had wineskins. And so Jesus is talking about new wine. So the process of making new wine, I think we have some, you know, chemical engineers in here. The chemical reaction is happening. There's fermentation happening. And so this liquid has this chemical reaction going on underneath the surface. And as those reactions happen, there's this gas that begins to bubble up. And so there's bubbling off of the gases that is in this new wine, all right? And so when that happens, whatever container it's in, it begins to build pressure in that container. Think about like pressure vessels if you're a mechanical engineer or you know that world. So it begins to build pressure. And what he says, if you take new wine and put it into an old wineskin, and that process of fermentation, that energy, that life that's in the new wine, when that happens, the container is not going to be able to hold it. And it's actually going to fill up so much, get so pressurized that it's going to bust. And you're not only going to lose the wine, but you're going to lose the wineskin. So he says, don't take this fresh new energy, this new wine and put it in old, but he said, put it in new wineskins, because new wineskins, they're fresh and they can move and they can expand and receive. And so what Jesus is talking about, he's not giving us a lesson in processing wine. He's giving us a deeper lesson for those that have ears to hear and a heart to receive it. What he's saying is we all are wineskins. You are a wineskin. I am a wineskin. And we have certain ways and certain things that we think and believe. And what he says is when we become a people like old wineskins, when we are set in our ways and we're unwilling to change, that when he pours that new wine, which is the revelation of the kingdom of God, the ongoing, consistent, continual new revelation, as he pours that new wine, if we're unwilling to change, it is going to blow up, and it's going to not only ruin the wineskin, but also the wine, the revelation, the kingdom is going to be wasted. So he said, don't be old wineskins. He said, new wineskins. I don't know if you've ever been set in your ways. I don't know if you've ever believed one thing and then the Lord said another, but it's kind of what God does. And honestly, this book is filled with men and women who had heard from the Lord, or they believed something about God, and then something happened and they're like, oh my goodness, I missed the whole thing. It's what Jesus was coming on to say. Repent, change your mind. What you thought, the old wineskin, the way you thought about God, the way you thought about how you connect with God, I'm changing everything. And so if you're not willing to expand or receive it, you're not going to be able to take it in. And that wasn't a message just for then. It's also a message for now. That God is still pouring out the new revelation, the fresh revelation, the application of the kingdom of God. And he wants to pour it in people that are willing to receive it, to change, to adjust to him. You know, I've shared this before, but I grew up in a pretty conservative background, and I love my parents, and my grandpa was my pastor for my early part of my years, but very conservative church. We knew some of the scripture for sure, and we definitely knew what to do and what not to do. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? And we really knew how to make sure nobody knew when we did the things we weren't supposed to do. Anybody else been to that church? Yes, right? Like, we were really good at that thing, and God was so gracious, and God used so much of that time. So it's not even a waste. It's just, and I grew up, and I had some areas where I had some old wineskins. So growing up, I didn't really hear about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you grew up in that church. Grew up in the Holy Spirit. Never heard really about the Holy Spirit except at baptism, which we didn't really do a lot of those. And so I didn't really hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I joke around, actually, a lady in Houston was funny. She came out of a background similar to mine, and she said, we had a lot of the Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. Now, how many of you know the Scriptures are beautiful and so needed, right? But it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that revelation is here. And then this word, the word of God, the spoken word, became flesh in Christ. But it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so I just didn't have a measure of what does it look like for a people that talk with the Holy Spirit, that hear the Holy Spirit, that are led by the Holy Spirit, that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I had no idea. I just thought Holy Spirit people were weird. Like, that was my old wineskin. Like, talking about the Holy Spirit, holy roller on TV, weirdos trying to get my money. Anybody else there? Yeah, and we had reasons to point and say, yeah, that's kind of what we got. But David Wagner this weekend, he shared this truth that it's like so good. He said, sometimes God will offend our head to get to our heart. Sometimes God will offend your head, your knowledge, your understanding, in order to get to your heart. How many of you know that God is not afraid to offend you? Oh my goodness, who's been offended by God? Anybody else besides me? Oh my goodness, all of us. He sometimes will offend our understanding. He'll offend the traditions that we have, the ways of thinking that we have, and that's really what happened to us. Like, I've shared it, you know, I went through a season where I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the church. My wife was still pursuing the Lord, but I wasn't. I was struggling with my own darkness, my own issues, and our marriage wasn't doing well. There's a lot of things that weren't going well. And then in my mid-20s, had this experience with the Holy Spirit that didn't fit inside of my old wineskin. And I think sometimes our wineskins need to just bust so we can get to be the new wineskin. And sometimes the Lord in his graciousness will allow your wineskin to bust just to make you new again. And so it was in our mid-20s that we began to have this revelation of the Holy Spirit and begin to learn who the Holy Spirit is. And I love how God works. He doesn't usually send the messengers that we think he should send to tell us about things, right? And one of the messengers that really helped me in my learning about the Spirit and walking by the Spirit was a guy in my area. I was an area manager, and then I had my operators, but then we had contractors that just pushed around pallet jacks and moved pallets around all the time. And it was that guy that the Lord used in his graciousness to lead me into the deeper things of the Spirit. God that does not change wants us to change. He's always inviting. He's initiating change. And so over that time, we began to learn who the Holy Spirit is, what it means to walk with the Spirit, what it means to have this kind of relationship where I hear the Lord speaking, where I walk in the power of God, where he gives gifts and these beautiful things. And it really changed, and it forced me to say, am I going to stick to the old way, the way that I know, or am I going to be able to receive the thing that God wants me to receive? It was offensive sometimes. And what I found is that even new wineskin can become old wineskin if new wine is not regularly placed inside. This is the thought as I was praying last night, changing and asking the Lord, sitting with the Lord last night, what do you want me to share today? I just kept having this thought, what is an old wineskin? Like, we read this, like, not old wineskin, what is an old wineskin? An old wineskin is an old wineskin that was once a new wineskin. That old skin was once a new skin until it wasn't a new wineskin. So at some point, that new wineskin got so far and didn't have the new wine being poured into it, and so it became old and stale and got structured and began to be static and immovable. And that new wineskin that once was able to take the new became an old wineskin that can't take the new. How many of you know I'm not talking about wineskins right now? You and me, this is what it looks like. Man, we were like, new, fresh, Lord, yes. And he's like, yes, let's go. Let's change, Derek. I want to teach you something. I want to lead you something. And then I get so far, I'm like, Lord, I can't take anymore. Lord, I was good with singing for 30 minutes, but man, don't go 45. Like, I was good with dancing at a wedding, but dancing in church? Like, I was good with saying amen, but whoa! Like, new wineskin, like, Lord, yes, fresh, Lord, come on, let's go. No, Lord. I'm good here, Lord. I can't take anymore. I just don't want to go anymore. Because you know what? I really like what I got here. I really like the struggle that I have in my life. It's really become part of my identity. And it's how I see myself, and it's how people actually give me some pity. It's how people like come and help me. And so I kind of want to keep this thing. So no, Lord, I can't take any fresh revelation about the kingdom of God. And he's like, when you become an old wineskin, you can't take the new thing that God's doing. Because if you do, it bursts and it wastes. And so I've been thinking about this, and so I put down a list of things that I think that keep us, or that where the new becomes the old. Here's a list of things that I think are helpful for us to recognize, maybe in our own lives. We go from being a new wineskin to an old wineskin when we value control over trust. When I can go to work and I know what to expect and I can just go on autopilot, I can just shift off my awareness of God and I just go through the motions. When I'm talking to somebody in the prayer line and I just go into autopilot and I just know what to do instead of have this trusting relationship with God. When I come to church and I know what to expect, I know they're gonna sing songs and we're gonna have a sermon and Derek's gonna tell a funny joke and then he's gonna close up and I'm gonna go and eat. If that's all we have, do we really need God? And that doesn't go just for church, that goes for Monday. Do you need God to operate in the way that he wants you to? Do you need him? Do you need that relationship? Do you need your trust in him? When we value comfort over obedience, we've moved from being a new wineskin to an old wineskin. When we move from valuing safety over faith, when we value certainty over mystery, we become an old wineskin. God wants to restore childlike faith. He's not predictable. God's not predictable. We want to make him predictable. We want to make him safe, but he's not. When we value being right over relationships, we become an old wineskin. When we value what was or is over what could be, whew, you ain't moving. When we value what God did in the past more than what he is doing now, we've officially said, I'm an old wineskin. Unwilling to move, unwilling to receive, unwilling to change to God. And he says, what I'm looking for on the earth, what I want to do is I've got this fresh wine, this new wine that I want to give to you. But he said, if you're not willing to change your mind, if you're not willing to change your perspective, to see things from heavenly perspective instead of this worldly, this political, this religious, this control and dictator and power, if you're not unwilling to look at it beyond the things of the world, then you can't take my new wine. But he says, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. And I don't know about you, but I want all the things that God wants to give us. I don't want to be a person that says, man, I'm good with learning what I've learned. Let's just stay here. That's enough. Let's set up shop. And God's like, Derek, no, I have more. I have more. I have more. Come on, follow me. Follow me. And I'm like, no, God, I don't. I don't want to be that person. And I don't want us to be a church like that. And I'm thankful that I don't think we are, that we have enough humility to recognize that what God's going to do in a decade is different from what he did a decade ago. What he's doing in this region, in this city, 15, 20, 30 years ago is not what he wants to do in the future. And this is not a political statement, but here's the thing. The political on both sides that say, let's go back to the way it used to be, that's not God. Now I'm messing with people. The history that we once had that we love to look back in rose-colored glasses is not God. He says, I'm doing a new thing. America, I'm doing a new thing. Will you be able to perceive it? Because you keep going and wanting to go back to the old thing. You're like the Israelites. Let's just go back to Egypt. At least we had food, but we were slaves. Let's just go back. That's where we are as people. Like as our country, we're like, man, if it could only be like it used to be. Oh, are you kidding me? Do you know the history of our country? Like once again, this is not a political either side. It's just, can we be a people that are willing to be changed by God? Can we be a people that receive what is the new thing God doing and not just going back to what we know, the comfort and the stability and like, no, he said, I'm gonna do a new thing. Is it scary? Yes. Is it gonna cost you something? Yes. Is it gonna be worth it? Yes. It always is, he always is. Saying yes to him is always worth it. And so here's what I wanna do. I'm gonna close up, we're just gonna pray. And if you're like me today and you're like, man, Lord, I don't want to be an old wineskin. I don't want to be in that. I got areas in my life where I know that. If you say, I don't want to be a new old wineskin and I want to be a new wineskin, I just want you to pop up to your feet real quick. I just want to pray for you. He says, can you perceive it? I'm doing a new thing on the earth. Can you perceive it? I'm doing a new thing on the earth. This requires humility, oh, so much humility. God loves to kill our pride. He loves to kill our idols where we set up these things and say, God, this is my preference. And he's like, is that my preference? God, this is how I like things to look. And he's like, is that how I like things to look? God, you were doing this 10 years ago and it was awesome. And he's like, yes, that was awesome. But do you know what I'm doing now? I just feel like the Lord wants to just burst some wineskins today of ways that we've said, God, I can take this much no more. Maybe agreements that we've made, vows that we've made, or things that we've said to ourselves of saying, God, this is the only way I'm gonna do it. This is the only way I'm gonna like it. This is the way that I'm gonna, and we tell God all of our requirements. What if he's just like, do you trust me today? Do you trust me that I know what's best for you? So let's just take a moment. I just want you to allow the Lord to search your heart. And let's just ask him, Lord, is there anywhere where I am functioning like an old wineskin? where I've become rigid and dogmatic. Anywhere that I've told you, God, this is off limits. I just feel like the Spirit's just shining lights all over the room. Just let him do it. Let him do it right now. Just let him shine his light. Bring revelation. It's never condemning. It's always unto restoration, life. And so if you have an area where you're like, man, I know this is an old wineskin mentality and mindset, why don't you just confess that to the Lord? Just tell him the truth. Maybe it's about a people group. Maybe it's about a political party. Maybe it's about church. Maybe it's about your workplace. Maybe it's about spiritual gifts. Maybe it's about an infinite amount of things. Whatever it is, just tell the Lord the truth. And then let's pray a dangerous prayer. It's a biblical prayer. Say, God, change me where you need to change me. Oh, wow, let's just say that out loud as a confession, as a commitment. God, change me as you want to change me. The Bible's filled with that. Even as followers of Jesus, they thought they had it figured out. They knew the kingdom of God. They knew him. And then we get into the book of Acts, and we're like, Gentiles aren't allowed. And God's like, no, yes, they are. So Lord, change our mindset. Change the way we see things. Change the way we perceive you and the new thing that you're doing on the earth. Change our minds about how we see our workplaces. Change our minds about how we see our spouse and our kids and our community, our neighbors. Lord, change our minds and our hearts towards those that are running far from you, those that are on the fringes, those that disagree with us. Lord, change our mind about our enemies. And then lastly, let's just ask him to fill us with new, fresh revelation, new wine about the kingdom. He said, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we want to receive every bit of revelation about your kingdom that is here now, but is also coming. So ask him right now, Lord, what do you want to give us right now? What is it that you want to give your people? As we confess this, as we give it away, is there something that you want to give us in this moment to mark it, to encourage us to be fresh, new wineskins? We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you so much for Jesus and the blood that's so powerful. Lord, I bless this church, this community. We bless Upper Room and the team and everything that you're doing down in Dallas and in Denver and in Frisco and across the world through their worship, through their teaching. Lord, we bless and we ask that you would continue to increase. That they would grow in the revelation, the knowledge of who you are and your love. Lord, I pray that we as a people would continually be transformed, that we would continually be changed, that we wouldn't get static, that we would be dynamic. That it would be people that move with you, that adjust to you, that see new ways of talking to people and encountering people and leading people into the kingdom. Lord, help us to see differently. And be so gracious to show us in your kindness when we become rigid and old wineskins so that we can repent and change our minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.